Today I'm going to talk about there's a process to the promise. How many of you guys want God's promise? How many of you guys want health? I want health. How many of you guys want a good marriage? How many of you guys want children that love the Lord? How many of you guys want to be able to pay your bills? Okay. Yeah? How many of you guys want friends? I do. I like friends. I have a good husband, but you know, I need friends too. Because I'm going to tell you, I got to get the story. So I'm taking Leo. I'm like, yeah, I'll help you get some stuff for your car. You know, we got a truck, so everyone's your friend now. Learn that. So I go in, and Matt's like, can you stop by and look through all of these Matchbox cars?
Hot Wheels, get it
right. Hot Wheel. I already got it wrong. He sends me a picture. So I'm there. He doesn't know this part, but I spilled all of them off the rack. I'm at Walmart. I'm really mad. You don't have internet. You have to sign up through there. And I'm like doing this. And I'm like, I need someone with better hobbies. I'm like, I am a grown woman here tearing down the toy section at Walmart. People walking by. I'm like, it's all on the ground. Like, I'll put it back. Did not find it. And I'm like, I need someone with better hobby. I can't do this, you know. So I need friends that like to sit at the beach. You know, they like to read. He needs friends that like to go to every store and find Hot Wheels, and he's got them, his online. There you go. So, friends, we want these things. We want the promises of God, don't we? How many of you guys want long life? I do. I want great-great-grandkids. I want to be able to go do stuff with them. It's like, I want long life. We want all of these promises. But you guys realize any promise that God gives you, there is a process to getting there. How many of you guys want the process? No, thank you. Return to sender. Yeah. So, if you got your Bible, we're going to talk about Joseph. Genesis 37. And I'm going to be going around. I'm going to start verse 2. It says, this is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, so he's a teenager, was tending the flock with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their fathers a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other sons. Don't be saying that. I mean, if you have a child that you love more, don't tell anybody. Because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw this, their father loved him more than any of them. What do you think? You think they're going to be like, oh, that's so good for him?
Nope.
No, they did not like him. It was jealousy. They hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph then had a dream. All the dreamers were like, everyone else like, oh, that's cool. Dreamers are like, oh, that's scary. Don't go there. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, what was Joseph's first mistake? Told it to his brother. You don't give your siblings ammunition. They hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to the dream I had. So then he says, tell them to listen. Okay? Listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaves rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream. Okay. He has another dream. Oh. And he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said. This kid. I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Whew. When he told his father, so then his brothers were already mad at him, so then he's like, I'm going to go tell my dad that he's in this too. Then he told his father as well as his brothers. His father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and your brothers and I actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father's kept matter as mine. So his dad was kind of ticked, but he didn't hate on his son. So we look at this, and Joseph. he had to go into a process, didn't he? And we know that as we go on in that story, you know, every call on our lives, Joseph, God gave him a dream, right? Who do you think the dreams were from? God. God gave him the dreams. But when Joseph told his brothers, did it say, God told me? Did he say that? Did he give glory to God? Did he ask, did it say, God told me to share this with you? Who wanted to share it? Joseph, I want to supersede the process, and I want what I want, and I want it now. Every call on our lives, every gifting, every prophetic word we hold, we give, we receive, that process can take days, months, weeks, years, decades to come to pass at times. Okay? We realize that? So Joseph, we know, you know, in verse 18, it goes on, it talks about that they plotted, the brothers were so mad that they're like, let's kill him. Luckily, Reuben's like, maybe not kill him, but just get him out of here. And so they sold him into slavery. And then as it goes on, we know that Joseph, he goes into Potiphar's house, and he's, you know, he's a servant, but he's got a pretty cushy life. He's in the palace. And then, you know, Potiphar's wife's like, no, you know, I want you to be with me. And he's like, no, girl. And so then she's like, I'm going to get you in trouble. And so he gets in trouble. And he's like, now you're going to the prison. And so he goes to the prison, and he's there for a while. This is not just like, you know, 24 hours. This is a while. And we see in God's word that, you know, God's ministering to him. God's showing favor on him here. So we see that he's kind of grown up a little bit. And we know that he has more dreams. And this time, who does he give the glory to? God. You know, he does that, and we go into Genesis 40, and we see Joseph had some time to build some character, didn't he? When you're in the prison, you have some time to build the character. Come on. Love it. But it's true. And he started realizing, you know, I need to give all glory to God. Nothing else. No matter how much I had, didn't matter if I was the favorite, didn't matter if I had the, you know, best dressed and the most money and all this, it didn't matter. I need to give God the glory. He began to get some character, have time, build on that. And God got him out of the prison and back in the palace over the same things that put him, the same gifting, the same calling that put him in the prison, got him out of the prison. So the calling, the giftings did not change, did it? Dreams got him into the mess, and dreams got him out of the mess. It's where he put alignment to the process. Was he going to align with his own ego, his own pride? I want to be right. I'm doing it my way. This is the way I've always done it. Or is he going to say, God, this is you. You gave me this gift, and I'm only going to use it when you say, I'm only going to use it to glorify you, and I'm going to do it in the time and the season that you ask me. Do you know that that's really important? The time and the season? So if you're like, God called me to do this, that's great. When? When? Okay. So I started thinking about what happens when you receive a word from God or get a revelation from that word. What do we do with it? Too many times we try to push, coerce, or manipulate it to happen in our timing the way we want. When you have infant newborns, you're like, I want to have this stage forever. When you get toddlers, you're like, how do we make them grow up? How do we get these little things out, like grown? Like, I'm done. I'm done. You have nothing nice in your house. You don't ever sleep. They know everything, and they're going to tell you that. I mean, it just is a stage in life you're thinking, we need to grow up. So sometimes we push course, and we're like, I hope this happened. I want to do, you know. So what do we do when we get that, and we're trying to make it happen because we're, like, excited? Oh, God said I'm going to do this. I'm going to minister to thousands. Okay. Can you minister to your own family? can you worship God if one other person is watching you? But you're going to get up on stage and minister to thousands? You can't even minister to your own children? Come on. So what do we do? We can't force it. You know, ask yourself, do I take the opportunities, do I take the platform without asking God if I should? Don't think just because it's good that God's always in it. Just because something is good, God's like, yeah, that's good, but it's the wrong season, so it's not going to work out. You got some character issues to still work out. They can be good things, but if God says that's not for you in this season, don't go there. Don't step into it just because you're like, I can. I have right. Do I overshare and try to make what God said fit for the right now? You ever done that with a prophetic word? You get a prophetic word and you're like, I want this to happen now. So I think every sign, I'm looking at every sign. Go on the internet, you'll watch people do this. They don't know how prophecy actually works. They don't know how the word of God actually works. So then they create things. We just saw this happen with the eclipse. Oh, Nineveh. I'm like, well, why are you all scared? I'd be happy because what happened at Nineveh is everybody's hearts turned to the Lord. So you should be rejoicing, right? Know the word of God. But see, we try to put it into what we want to manipulate our timing. We share when God says to share. We don't share because we got something to say. We are prideful people. We always got something to say. All the ladies said amen. We talk a lot more than the men. We're just made that way. That's all right. Also things, do I judge? Do I overthink? Do I think someone did something just to hurt me? Who said yes? Repent right now. You're a deacon. You can't be saved. Just joking. He was joking. Take my Bible to beat him. It's bigger. Burning your shoes again. That's what you get. do I judge? Do I overthink? You know, we should all be wanting the next thing. We got to hurry up and get this and hurry up and do this. Well, I don't want to have something that my character can't keep. Do you want it or is God asking that for you right now? Sometimes, some of you might be in a season of celebration. Some of you might be in a season of rest. Some of you might be in a season of grieving. I don't know. I'm not in your relationship with God. God knows what he's doing, and he knows what season you need to be in to prepare you for the calling and the destiny he has created you for. He knows what you need to go through what he's going to call you to. Are you trying to supersede God's process? That's the thing I'm asking. Are you trying to supersede God's process? Well, I want the promise. Yes, I understand, and it is yours. God promised it to you. That's why it's his promise, right? But he didn't say, you get to choose the time, you get to choose the season, and you get to choose how I bring it to forth. He didn't say any of those things. He said, I'm promising you this. We get all offended at God, each other, at church, at everything, thinking everyone's against us. That is a spirit of the enemy hovering over you. If you think people are against you, you need deliverance because that is a spirit of the enemy trying to convince you not to partner with the kingdom of God. It's a lie. Whew. I know, I'm trying. Whew. When I get excited about words, because God, this is what God teaches me before I ever release it anywhere. That's the great thing, because I'm like, I remember when you said that to me, Lord, and I pouted about it. You guys are doing much better than me. Because God knows what he's called you to do. He knows, and he knows how much character you need to get there. You guys understand that? He knows how much character you actually need to get where he's called you to be. You don't know because we inherently, with our flesh, wants to be prideful and I can do anything. No, you cannot. You can do anything God has called you to do. You cannot do anything. You can do anything God has called you and commissioned you to do because you are a servant in the kingdom. You are not a king. We gotta remember that. We come to church, we want to be served, we want it our way, we want this, we want that. We come together in believers and we want the music the way we want the sound, we want the coffee, we want the children's church, we want everything the way we want it. And that is what a king walks into, and all the servants serve a king. We are not the kings. We are the servants. Remember your place in the kingdom. And the great thing is we serve the best king. He's never harsh. He's never overbearing. He never wants bad for us. He's generous. He's giving. He takes care of everybody in his kingdom. Whew, let's go on from there. So we're getting to that, the process. How many of you guys feel like I'm in a process right now? I'm in a process, and the promise seems real far away. Like it's like a little dot in the horizon, and I feel like, how am I ever going to get there? Do you want me to tell you? Character. And here's the key for character. You know you can't pray for character. I can't go up to Keelan and be like, I'm just going to pray character over you today. Can't do it. It's not in the word. It doesn't happen. Can't pray for growth like that. Character comes through walking out the destiny God has for you. You learn. We saw Joseph. He got an opportunity to get a lot of character building, hearing from God, being humble. Character comes through action. And you build on it as you walk instead of being like, I want the promise now. You're like, you know, I actually, to be able to withstand that, to hold that, to carry that weight, I need to have some character and realize I need to be lined up with Christ. I need to know what he says about this, because if I try to carry this on my own, it will crush me, it will destroy me. Character happens through being obedient to God's word. And you can't be obedient to God's word unless you know God's word. Would you be correct? We can't know what God wants for us if we don't know his word. Like, you can say, well, I thought you could pray for character. Well, that tells me that you need more time in his word. Because he doesn't say that you can. You can pray for a lot of things. Character is always a process. So before you say, I want to do this, God. God wants me to do this. He's calling me to this destiny. Ask yourself this, okay? So you're going to ask yourself, not your neighbor. You ain't in charge of their character growth. Even if you want them to grow, Lord, you can be like, give them opportunities to grow. You could pray that. Lord, give them lots of opportunities to get character. But remember, with the same judgment you used, it will be judged back to you. So if you want someone else to grow up and have character, God's going to also require that of you. So sometimes we think, go get them, God. God's like, yeah, I'm going to get both of you. I'm a good God. I'm going to go after them, but I'm going to go after you too because I love you both. So before you are like, oh, let's say you've got a prophetic word and God's like, you know, this is who you're going to be. And you're like, yes, that is. Like, I know I have this calling. Some of you guys have had that already. And some of you guys are like, I'm not there yet. That's okay too. But what do I need to do? You need to ask yourself, what needs to change in my character to inherit this calling, this destiny, this prophetic word? What needs to change in my character? If God says you're going to be an intercessor, I suggest you take care of your mouth. Right? If you have a problem swearing, if you have a problem being negative, talking contrary to the word of God, but you're going to come lay hands on me and pray and intercede for me, no thank you. I would like blessing and not cursing. I would like you, I love you, I would like you to get some character before you pray for me. Right? How many of you guys want someone who is going to bless you and not curse you if they pray for you? Yep. Yes, we want that. So if someone is struggling there, God loves them. He's like, that's your calling. That's your true identity. Let's get you some character so you're there. There's things that constantly need to change in us. I'm always like, Lord, don't let me be who I was yesterday. It could be just yesterday. You're like, I want, even if it's just a little smidge, of growth. Just let me have it, Lord. Give me opportunities. So I'm going to, let's just have a little bit of a conversation about this. I don't know how this is going to go, but I might ask you guys questions or throw out things. But so let's think about, let's put this in a context. I'm going to talk about it like in the fivefold. So let's just, we're going to just use that because it's an easy place to go. Like if God called you into an office of a fivefold. So that's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. I'm just kind of putting there. So let's say like, I got a call and I got this prophetic word that I was going to be an evangelist or I was going to be this. And then Christ came to me in a dream or I got this word and Christ told me, whatever. Let's say you're like, I got all that. Like, you know, 100%, like I'm called to do this. Okay. So let's say you are. So let's say you're called one of those and there's lots of different characteristics of that. But what needs to happen in my character before I see this or are called or recognized or set in and before I get to go put myself in platforms? You see all the time people putting themselves in platforms and then having huge moral failures and harming lots of people, hurting people because they decided to go to a platform before God said. God called them. It was true. That's their calling. That was their identity. That's who God wanted them to be. And they decided, well, God called me, so I will do it my way, my timing, when I want. And they decided to go to the pit and the prison. Right? So I'm going to give you guys just an example, and then I'm going to have you guys kind of interact and call some things out. So like if that was apostles, I want to walk you guys through this so you know, like, what does that mean? So like let's say you were like new. God called me, be an apostle, I'm going to lead things, I'm going to do this, what do I, okay, well, you're sitting here, and it's like, I just met the Lord last week, and now he came to me in a dream, he called me, and he, you know, I reckon, okay, apostles, so you better have dealt with pride, your character, you better have dealt with pride before you want to take that spot, because if you're leading pride, and pride rears its head, it will come to a fall. That's why you see things when you're like, how did this church, it was going awesome. They had 10,000 people going and the pastor just had moral failure and everything fell down. Pride. Can't see, you know, what's going on in your own life because you have pride. Do you see that? So God's like, I'm calling you. Can we deal with that? Because I know the enemy's going to use that. That's a huge thing in an apostolic call. Did you know that? Pride. Because, and no accountability, which comes through that. Like, you got to be able to have people that can say, I don't like the way you're acting. That ain't right. We have that all the time. We've been very good. Right now? No. I'm acting pretty awesome sometimes. But you know what? You should have that at times. If it's your spouse, you know. But you should have, it should be your family. It should be people who love you the most that can say, no. No, no, no. You're going to get some character there. Walk through it. Try it out. This is not, nope. What if it's prophets? You better have, if you're like, I'm called, I just am really prophetic, and I just want to prophesy all the time. Okay. You better get some thick skin. Some really thick skin, because you're going to be rejected. That is a, basically, we'll show you that rejection will be a huge thing in your life. Ridiculed, especially inside the church. Why is rejection one of the main things used in a calling like that? Because prophets speak the word of God first. They lead out. If you reject them, they go and they hide. We see that all the time. Oh, woe is me. And then what? If they stay in that spot, if you can keep someone in a prophet in that spot of rejection, they will never lead out with the word of God. Okay? So if you're like, I want to be a prophet, be like, okay, well, be prepared that most people are not going to like you a lot of the time. And it's going to take years till you find people who actually love the Lord and begin to see that before you do have people that like you. But most are not. When you first get called in there, the enemy's going to send people just to reject you. We see it all over God's word. You know, look at Elijah. Oh, no, I'm by myself. Nobody likes me. Nobody does what I do. They just. And God's like, can you just go rest for a little bit? Because you're just too much. He still, even though he did things, God's like, you need a rest because you know what, you're not thinking right. You're not ready. Why couldn't he just dealt with Jezebel right then? Because he needed some character issues to be taken care of before he came back and had victory. Okay, so what about evangelists? I just want to tell everyone about Jesus. We got some evangelists around here that God is growing up. Some of your children are evangelists. But evangelists can also be the mean girl or the mean boy very easily because they get along with everybody. They just want to, you're like, I'm an evangelist. I just want to tell everyone about Jesus. But have you even taken care of your own household? You want to tell everybody, but your household's going to hell. That's tough. Need some character. Your first ministry is your family. First ministry is your family. And family crazy. Character building is building your first ministry before you move on to the next ministry. You don't be like, well, you know what? I'm just too important to talk to you guys anymore. Get in line. Yeah. God's called me to speak to millions, so I'm just going to leave you in the dust. Now God's like, can you back it up? You need a little more time in the pot cooking here. So pastors, you're going to learn how to have to say no if that's your calling. Because you're going to feel for everybody, and you're going to feel taken advantage of, and you're going to feel like a victim all the time because, why didn't they come say hi to me? Why didn't they do this? Because you're always thinking about everybody. If you don't have character on that before you step into that, you're going to get your feelings and always feel like, well, everyone just pulling me in every direction. Luckily, we have good pastors that were set in that went through a process before they were there, so they don't feel that way, right? You love taking care of people. You don't feel used or abused, right? Tell me honestly. You can. Okay, good. What? It was the right time. You know, I hope that you guys are all thankful for them, and I know the church is thankful for them. But, you know, if it would have been 5 years ago or things, it might not have been the same because we had to wait for God's timing, didn't we? So I'm using that because you guys are here. Teachers, you want to teach? Then you should know the word a little bit. You shouldn't be like, I think it's somewhere in the Bible. No, 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 no. You got to know the word. You're like, God's called me to teach and do that. Well, then you have to be able to speak. You can't be fumbling over your words. You can't be like, I don't know where that is in the Bible. It might be in the Bible. No, 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 you better know. You need some time. You better be able to memorize. You better be able to have that on the inside of you. So when you know what, when it comes out, it bubbles right out. It's there. It's at the tip. You know what? That's not everyone's call, but if it's your call, don't think, well, it's my call. I'm just going to do it. No, it's your call, and you're going to go through the process, and you're going to study, and you're going to know what the word says, and you're going to live the word, and you're going to be able to know when something is counterfeit to the word. You know how you know something's counterfeit? You study the actual thing. You can always know what is not the word of God, even if it sounds really, really similar, when you know God's word. So those just there. So I want to ask you guys, if you have something like, hey, what about this call? What if I'm just called to be a mom? What if I'm called to be, you know, intercessory? What if I'm called to just pray for healing? What is something that you guys, I want to show you, I like to do this. This is kind of, because I like to hear what you guys have to say. What is something you're thinking, I think this is a call, or it might not be in your life. Come on, someone's got to have bold. Healing. All right, so let's say you're like, God called me. Barb's not even here today. She said that to me one time. And I said, well, then you better start praying for people in the little things. So if you're like, I just really know that that's my calling, that's my destiny, like God just showed me, like, I just have a fire for this to see people receive that promise of healing. Okay? What's the first thing? So you don't just go up to someone like, I'm going to pray for you. And you're like, oh, you know, I'm just know that the, if I lay hands on you and say, oh, you know, I just know that the enemy, you know, did this. I know that God gave this to you. Ooh, you know. Ooh, you better know the word of God, right? You better know what God's word says about healing. You better know that if you don't go out of turn and if someone hasn't shared or asked or thing, there's not your job to get up here and be all crazy on them and be like, you know, here, get out of here. You must be sinning. That is not of God. I have seen some of that stuff. And I'm like, what is happening here? You go through the process. God teaches you what healing is. God teaches you about faithfulness. Most people that have the gift of healing have went through being sick for a long time. Almost every person that I've seen that has a miracle gift of healing, they go through being sick because God's teaching them how to be faithful, that even if it's 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, that God's still the healer. So he's going to walk through that character. Do you know my word? Do you believe my word? Do you have faith still? Even if you don't see it in the timing that you want, do you have faith for that? Are you willing when we're at church and say, hey, this person needs healing, are you going over there and saying, can I pray for you? Can I lay hands on you? Can I speak the word of God over your life? Right? Are you doing those things? Or are you waiting for a big platform where you have a huge healing ministry and you're on TV and everyone can just see you? Ugh. Do you see how character is important? You know, are you seeing someone on the street that, you know, no one else can even see what's going on and it's just you and them? And God's like, they need you to pray for them. Are you going to walk up there and say that and be kind of weird like, hey, you know what? I have this guy in my life and he told me you're sick. His name is Jesus. You know? Can you do that? You see, we all need character in the process to walk in the callings that we have. Does anyone have another one they want to go through?
I want to jump back on what you just said. I mean, you need to be able to be willing to accept our healing, to lack of a better word, in God's time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I said this before, but God fixed my heart, literally. I had heart failure diagnosis, and I wanted my knee fixed, but God said, let's fix your heart first.
Come on. It's God's time. There it is. That's part of the process. This is not our timing. It is God's timing. With any calling, you need to say, God, what's your timing? And he might say, just do this. And you're like, but what's your timing? He's like, no, I asked you to do this. But God, when is this going to happen? And God's like, I just want you to do this. And then you do that thing that God is asking you to do. And then he's like, now I want you to do this. That's how it works. God doesn't go, well, you know, in 2 years, 11 months, 9 days, I'm going to. No, he's like, I'm just waiting for you to take one step so then I can show you the next step. The next step. Because he sees the big picture all the time. It all has to do with time and commitment, that character. It's a process. We want to know everything. I want to do everything. I want to minister to everyone. Yes, there is that. Did you have something? Did Keelan, did you have something? Yeah.
Okay.
So like if you have hospitality is maybe a word we put on that connection where you have this desire to like serve and be with people and connect. So it's something like that. So let's say you have hospitality where you're like, I want to just get people together. I want to have community. If that's my calling, you know what? You're probably not going to be like, oh, I'm going to be an event planner and I'm just going to do all of this and have 1,000 people the first time. You're going to make those time for that one person. You're going to build that character. You're going to know what God says and how you take care of them. You, like the Good Samaritan, you go and help those who can't give anything back to you. That's how you would, if that's your calling, your gifting, we walk through that character. And as we do that, then all of a sudden it's like the next thing God's like, here, now I want you to be in charge of this. And now I want you to do this. And it builds and grows as you're obedient to him. But you do it when no one's watching. You do it with the people that can't get you a position, a place, or anything. You do it because you're like, I'm a servant of God. And so it starts with those things. And it's like listening to God and doing what you can. And if God's like, I want you to make meals for people, maybe practice cooking. You know, things like that, that we can be like, okay, I don't want people to come over to my house and they're like, don't eat anything here. She, you're really good at that. My house, you're getting 3 things. It was good. See, there you go. Come on, see, there you go. See, that's the character. And you thought about that. You're like, hey, should I do meals for people? I'm like, yes, do it. Like, that's building on there. Instead of being like, well, I feel like I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it this way and this way. And I used to be at a church, and they were like, will you do meals? And I'm like, okay. They were so terrible. They quit asking me. I was like, yeah, that's not for me. I mean, I can cook certain things, but I do not think that way. And so I didn't really take the time to build on that the way that you have. So that's, if you have that connection, you just start spending time with people. Make room in your schedule to connect with people, even if it's one or two. If you're like, I want the 10 or 20 all the time hanging in my house, that will happen. But it starts with the one or two. So, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to pass over you on that. So anything else anyone else wants to be like, how do I get from here to here? And if you're like, I didn't raise my hand, but I wanted to know about this, just come see me. We'll walk through it. But so sometimes we want to know everything. We want everything. We want to do all the ministry right now. We want to be like this amazing. We want to have it complete. How many of you guys are like, I just want to be walking in the fullness of my calling? Like, I want it to just be. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, Lord, I love that, but at the also time, that means that I've completed my thing, and then heaven's my only next option. And I'm like, okay, God, I want to do as much as I can while I'm here. I want the time to continue to minister, to do what I can for the number of days that you've called me. We don't want to get ahead of God. We can't get ahead of God. That's the thing is, God tells you something, don't run ahead of him. Like you tell your kids something and you get out of the car and you say, don't run. Like they're excited to see someone, you open the door, you're like, don't run. Because they want it, like they get home and they see mom or dad, they want to just run, right? And they're like, there's a road there, you know. If you're at the Elvis house, there could be goats, cows, horses out, like chickens chasing you. I don't know. So like there could be a lot of distractions between you and that person. So I'm just teasing you guys, but we did let all the animals out one time. We got them in. Worked out. I'm not a farmer. He said, no, amen to this. There's not a farmer. I have friends who are farmers. I am not one. I will do anything you asked. I did help with hay one time. I'm like, I don't like this. It's itchy. It's not fun. Some of you guys are like, yeah, hay. And I'm just like, I come in shorts, too. You guys know, he's like, this lady's crazy. Yeah. Yes, because I didn't know. I found out. Got some character building that day, something I know. But if God has called you, you know, wait for him, listen to him. Okay, God, what are you saying? I know that I can't pray for God to make me rich. How do I know that? It never says, God, you know, pray that God's going to make you rich, but I can pray that God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Can I? How do I know that? It's Philippians. That's right. We can know what God wants for us, and we can walk in that because we know his word. Every person in here has a call and a destiny. Every single person. Every single person. Whether you serve Christ or not, he does not. His gifts and callings are irrevocable. Your calling doesn't change. God still loves you whether you choose him or not. I sent a thing out last week. I don't know how many of you guys listened to it on forgiveness. And one of the lines that hit me, and when I heard it, it just broke me. And it says, it doesn't matter how much you love Jesus. Jesus is easy to love. He's perfect. He's giving. He's selfless. He ransomed his life for us. He's like, the true testament of your servant's heart is how much you love the Judases that God puts in your path. Jesus still loved him, still invited him, still wanted good for him when he knew that he would betray him. That's so good. So we got a call. We got a destiny. It's great. And you may say, well, some of you in here are like, I know my calling. I'm walking in it, at least for the season, this is my calling. And some of you are like, I have no idea what God wants me to do. To be honest, some of you guys have that. It's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I love God. That's it. I don't know what else he wants me to do. You know, great. Because you already have the answer. Because if whether you know, some of you know and you're like, okay, I got to work toward that. Some of you are like, I don't even know yet. Well, you can still work towards that. You can still be in the promise because the first thing you are is a servant in the kingdom of God. So if you're like, I don't have a specific place that God has called me. I don't really know where my destiny is going. Your destiny is already in Christ as a servant in the kingdom. So start doing that. That's the process. Be a servant. Galatians 5:13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So God's blessed some of you in lots of ways, and he's like, you have freedom of time, you have freedom of finances, you have freedom of wisdom, you have these things, so serve with it. Use it to serve, use it to give, take care of, do these things. So if you have been called, if you're unwrapping a specific calling in your life right now, some of you guys have had in this year, God's been like, this is where I'm taking you. Some of you guys have got words about your lives. You guys have been prayed for. You've got prophetic words. Some of you guys have got words about your children. And it's like, okay, how do I steward this now? Start unwrapping that in that season by being like, okay, God, I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to know what your word says pertaining to this, and I'm not going to run ahead of you and just get what I want. So for my life, I knew God was calling me. As a child, I didn't know. My spirit already knew. I did things pertaining to my calling, but I knew when God called me in a dream and all these different ways that he called me, I knew I was going to lead. I was going to talk about prophetic. That means dreams, visions, prophecy. I knew that that's where I lived because I was already living there. Then God calls me. Then it got really scary. You know, but you want to know what that looked like? I was rejected basically from birth. That's what it looked like. I mean, there were times, I remember being 5 years old and being like, bringing toys on the bus to give to kids so they'd be my friend. Bribing people. Little kid. But do you understand what that looks like? That's painful because it's like God's like, I've called you. I'm setting you apart for something. Years of stewarding dreams before I ever shared them with anybody. You know, I wrote a book about dreams, and a lot of you guys both text me, email me, talk to me about dreams all the time. But before I ever shared any dreams, I had to steward them for a long time. I went back, I told Matt, I said, I was looking at my dream journals from 2014, and I said, the great thing is so many things from 2014 and 2015 are happening right now. Right now. Stewarding that and doing what God had called me to do and praying about it. You know, learning times and seasons and how to discern. You know how I learned how to discern? Messing up, missing it, doing the wrong thing. You know what I mean? If you want to pray for it, you're like, I just want to have discernment. I just feel like I just want to have that quick. Good. You're going to do the wrong thing a lot. And you're going to feel it, and it's going to be embarrassing. I'd rather take a little bit longer. Right? For me, I did so many embarrassing things. That's why now I just laugh at anything. And, like, even if I do something embarrassing, I'm like, I don't even care anymore. Like, I've been there too many times. But learning, studying a lot. I need to know what God's word said about that because it was terrifying. I'm like, I don't want to do this. Training, teaching a lot, getting lots and lots of correction from the word, from the Holy Spirit, other people, and being a servant before I was a leader. And still being a servant while leading. And the other thing is craving the presence over the platform. We preached in a barn with orange shag and blue shag carpeting that I lit on fire more than once. Old couches that had mice coming in and out of them. Yep. Why were some of you guys like, we remember those days. No heat. Because we craved the presence and people still came. Dirty. You know, crazy things. You think, I wouldn't go to a church like that. Yeah, it was in a barn with mice and bugs and fires. Smelly. It was smelled so bad all the time. And one would show up and we would minister. 10 would show up, we administer. Do you see the differences? You go through the process. You don't crave the platform. You crave the presence of God. Getting it wrong, a lot of repentance. I try to teach people this. I'm like, if someone comes to you and they say, you've hurt me, just say, I'm sorry I hurt you, even if you didn't even realize it. Repentance to someone, it restores. That is such an amazing tool because sometimes we hurt people and we didn't even know. Like sometimes Matt will say to me and I'll say to him, I'm like, that was rude. He's like, I wasn't being rude. I'm like, well, it felt rude to me. So he has to say, I'm sorry. That's not how I meant it. I wasn't trying to be rude to you. Or if I'm rude to him, he's like, why are you talking to me like that? I'm not talking to you like that. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. See, it takes a little longer for me, right? And then, but I'm like, oh, maybe I am. So then I'll say, you know, I think I'm just intense right now, I'm really sorry. That's not what I meant. I love you. You know what I mean? Because you have to immediately, if someone says you're hurting them, don't be like, no, I'm not. What is that? I'm sorry. That's not my intent. I did not mean to. Even if they took her thing, I didn't mean it like that. So if you felt that way, that is not my intent. What are they going to play? Well, I'm still mad that you didn't have intent. Okay, well, if someone's going to go there, you know, pray for them from afar. I don't know. But a lot of times getting wrong, a lot of repentance, study, training, the word, worship, a lot, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of worship. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what's happening. I'm putting the worship on. I'm in my car. I was so excited. I was like, oh, my gosh, we have a day, and the grass is grown, and I got my, you know, my lawnmower out. And I was like, yes, it was so good because I was like, it's not raining, it's not cold, and my grass is long because I just get to worship. And, you know, of course, the semis are honking because they think I'm waving at them. So I'm like, I look really popular when I mow the grass because I'm actually worshiping, but everyone thinks I'm waving at them. So I'm like, honk, honk. I should get a t-shirt that says, honk if you love Jesus. That way I know everyone's honking. They gotta. Oh, yeah, that would be. Yeah, that's a. That would be. Great ideas. My lawnmower did get painted, but that was because kids snuck into my barn and painted a bunch of things with spray paint, purposely making something for me, not my kids, making a dog bed for me, and decided to lay it across the top of the lawnmower while they spray painted this dog bed they made for me. Yeah, so I'm just like, well, has some black streaks. It's all right. It was nice. They did something. 2 o'clock in the morning in my barn, and I thought that, didn't you almost come out and hit them with a bat or something? Weights, oh yeah. Don't come to my house in the middle of the night, even if it's for something good. We have a lot of weapons. It's just not a good.
Don't go to Layla's house.
Or yeah. You said don't go to Layla's house. I was helping Layla do some. She's doing her yard work yesterday, and people are driving by, and I'm waving. She's like, what do they want? I'm like, just wave to them. These are your neighbors. Like, build some relationship. They're just seeing what you're doing because you just bought this house, and they're trying to be like, what are they doing? And she's like, well, I don't know if they want good things. I'm like, just wave to them. So we had this little lesson of, like, building character. Like, not everybody is against you. And even those who maybe wanted to rob you, you get to know them, and they realize, you know, we don't have, you know, they have a lot of weapons. I'm going to go to the next house, you know. It's okay. Get to know people. That was fun, though. I'm just like, she's like, why are you waving? I'm like, because they're your neighbors. You build good relationships with them. You got to live next to them. I don't know where we are, but we're going somewhere. That was fun. So those of you, then you're out in the yard. Nobody's thinking evil of you. No one's wanting to hurt you. They're just looking at, like, what are you doing? Because we are all inquisitive. We just want to know, right? How many of you guys, when a siren goes by, you're like running out there, like, wonder where it's going? You got to get on there like, oh, man, like, I got to get on Facebook and see what's happening in the groups, right? Hey, does anyone know why there's sirens? You want to know there's sirens? We all need to know everybody's business all the time. There's the answer. We don't, but we want to. I don't know where that came from, but you're welcome. So there were many times during all of that stuff that I just wanted to rage. I wanted to be like, God, I don't want to do this. These people are crazy. They're mean. They say terrible things. They say lies about us. They hate us. We lay everything down, and they accuse us of things. I don't want to do this. I give people prophetic words, and then they're mad at me because they didn't listen to God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I can't be God for you. I'm not that person. I'm not going to try. I'm not going to put myself in that spot. I'm sorry that you are disobedient. That's not my problem. But you're mad? Get your own walk with the Christ. It is your personal relationship with Jesus. It's not my personal relationship through my leader and this leader. There's no pyramid schemes in the Word of God. It is the cross. That's it. I mean, that's the way. If I do this, I'm going to get to Jesus. No. Just your repentant heart's going to get you to Jesus. All right. So there's times I didn't want to do it. And let me tell you this. Okay. All right, Lord. I'm going to say it. If it's easy for your flesh, it's probably not a call from God. Because our flesh wants to partner with pride, it's selfishness, it seeks its own way. It wants what it wants. So if it's like, this is really easy for me to do this. It's really easy for me to step into this calling. If it's easy for your flesh, it's probably not a call from God. Now, I will say, walking in my calling now, it is easy because I have learned to put my burden with Christ and let him carry it. Does that make... There's still people that hate me. There's still people that reject me. There's still people that are mean to me. I still miss it. There's still all of that, all the same stuff that it went on my whole life is still going on. But the difference is I'm not carrying that weight because I went through the process and I'm like, oh, why am I carrying this? Get, Jesus, like, you take it. I'm just your servant, right? It's not the servant's job to rule the kingdom. So if it's easy for your flesh, it's probably not a call from God. Because we're supposed to crucify our flesh, aren't we? Whew, don't want to talk about that. Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Do we know that crucified means you kill it? It doesn't get a say. It doesn't get to live, be active in your life. That's what the Word of God says. So any calling you're going to have is going to be sacrificial. In Luke 9, it says, take up your cross daily and follow him, right? So if you're like, oh, I want to... I'm going to pick on you because you're here because you spoke. I just know that hospitality is my thing. And you can't be all mad when people now all want you to have parties all the time and people want to come over and people want to see you. You know, sometimes you want to be like, I just want to rest. And God's like, you asked. That's why we don't want to get ahead of God. If he's like, you can host 10 people well, don't ask for 50. Because 60 will come. You know what I mean? But see, that's taking up that cross daily. God, I want to be able to preach eloquently. Oh. Okay, well, how many times would you like to fall on your face before that happens? You know? Well, every time you say a word, it's going to be judged so much by every single person that hears it, and they're going to think you're after them, and they're going to think you spoke it just to them, and now everybody's mad at you, and they're trying to cause division in the church. Sacrifice. That's taking your cross. Jesus, when he talks about taking your cross, he had to walk the cross through the crowd that was ridiculing him, didn't he? That was against him. It wasn't just the end result. He had to take up that cross and walk and carry that. That's what we're called to do. So your calling has sacrifice. Your flesh will not like it, but your spirit will. Your flesh will not like things. I know when we were called to this church, I was like, God's like, you guys are going to build a church. I'm like, no, have you seen church people? They crazy, they mean, they hateful. They can't follow through with anything. They whine and complain, and they blame you for things, and they don't show up, and they don't see the importance of things. And you're like, ugh. Like, your time is going to be, you know.
What did you say originally?
I said, Satan, get behind me when you said that to me. But, you know, because I was mad. I was like, my flesh is like, this is going to be my whole life. And God's like, yes. Every person I send to you, you are going to feel compassion for them. You're going to want good for them. No matter how they come in, they come in real messy, mean, anger, hateful, ready to fight. You're still going to love them. No, I don't want to. God, you know, so God's like, would you like to go through the process? Where would you like to go? The pit, the prison, or would you like to just walk this out with me? So you might be like, I want to just minister to the masses. Some of you might be called and you're like, I just feel like I'm an evangelist. I can minister to the masses. I just want to lead a church. Well, you know what? When we want it, sometimes our own wants is not what God wants for us. We should maybe ask God if that's what he wants. Because I'll tell you, when God gives you a calling, it's more apt to scare you or grieve you. It's usually not exciting. I'm going to pick on you two again because I just feel like I have the right, since you're in our leadership team. And I'm going to pick on you guys too because you're kind of in that same thing. It was a hard choice. All of you guys were like, I don't know if I'm qualified for that. I don't know if I'm ready for this. It was scary, wasn't it? You weren't like, yes, I deserve this spot. I can't wait. I've been waiting. God called me, and I've been telling him to show you because you should have known that I was called here. No, it was like, I don't think this is for me. I'm like, well, what is God? What do I say to you guys? What does God say? I don't really care what you say. What is God saying? So that's what I kept saying. I'm like, well, I just want you to say what God's saying. If God says no, then we're going to step back. But I said, I would like you to ask God. Because we can't have, but if it scares you, if it grieves you, then you might be ready to start walking in that process. Does that make sense? Your influence in the kingdom and the weight you bear will be released and the load lighten through that process because we begin to be like, oh, you're with me, Jesus. This is where you want me to do. Our hearts begin to be turned towards the kingdom. If my flesh is really excited and likes something, I need to look and say, what's the motive behind that? Do I have any character to hold that spot up? I want to get married. Well, do I know what it is to be a man of God or a woman of God? I want to be a parent. Do I know what God says about raising children? I want to lead at church. I want to be deacons. Well, do you know what it's like? Deacons, do I ask you things a lot of times? Do you have to lay your life down, your time for these people a lot? And I will ask you in the middle of the night. I will ask you different times of the day. You have to sacrifice time for everybody here. Do you not? It's not just like, I want to do this. It's not exciting. It's like, I had to take time. And they have a lot of qualifications that they had to go through. Even more than in the Word, we, our church, has things. And it's like, you know, like they have to be available 50 weeks out of the year. Unless they're sick. That's part. Yeah. Like, but that's the call that we ask because we know how important it is for our church to be taken care of. Do you see how this, it comes when you have to look at the motive behind it. If they're just like, I just can't wait to boss people around. And praise the Lord, none of our deacons have that. They all have the servant's heart. They came in, the right timing. They went through, they prayed about it. They heard from the Lord. They're like, yes. It is, because it's scary, because it's like, God, am I qualified to do this? God's like, no, you're not. But that's okay, I got you. Yeah. Yep. That desire, you're afraid, because you're like, this is heavy. And I realize the weight of this. I need to come in and realize that this carries accountability. Yeah. So I look at Joseph. Let's go back to him. He had prophetic dreams, right? Can anyone in here, we all agree that those dreams were from the Lord and they were prophetic? Okay? He had prophetic dreams, but his flesh liked being in the spotlight more than he wanted to serve. He wanted to be served and not serve. So his flesh decided, I'm going to highlight my gift and my calling right now. He heard from the Lord. God was speaking to him. God was calling him. And he did, didn't he? But his flesh wanted that spotlight, wanted that boasting, wanted that position, that platform. But the reason God gave him those dreams was that God loved his entire family lineage and the nation and knew that he would use him to care for and take care of his people. That's why he gave him those dreams, not to be like, I'm going to be over you. It was, you're going to have the wisdom to care for everybody, to make sure their needs are met. I'm trusting this to you, Joseph. And Joseph's like, I'm 17, ha, 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 you're going to be down there, I'm going to be up here, ha, ha. You know, he basically put it out there like that. God's like, that was not the intent of that dream. He wanted to show them that. That dream was never meant for anyone else but Joseph. But his zealousness, his overzealousness, made him share out of turn. His immaturity and his lack of character took him to the pit in the prison. Do you think that God wanted him to go to the pit in the prison? Do you think that he could have had that dream come to pass without going to the pit in the prison? God could have given him favor, put him in a place of leadership. God could have done that if he stewarded that well. But he chose that he didn't want to go with maturity and character. He put himself in the pit in the prison. He did that. We all say, oh, those brothers were bad. He wasn't the same at fault because he was disobedient to God, more so at fault. Because he knew what God said to him, he knew what God was speaking, and he chose to use it to boast himself. So our gifts can be true, but how we use them and when we use them are really important. I, for one, I don't want to have to go to the pit in the prison in my walk in getting to the promise, right? How many guys are like, I don't want to go there? Like, I would like to get the promises without going to the pit in the prison. If you've been in a pit or you've been in a prison, they're both bad. I've never been in a prison, but I've been in a pit because I had brothers, okay? They used to make booby traps. I fell in a pit. They put thorns in there. It was crazy. That's why I'm terrified of walking in the woods at night, okay? If all of you, those of you that have brothers said, I know that feeling. Those of you that don't have brothers, there, God's letting you not have to walk in the pit. But I don't want to do that, and you don't want to do that. So don't force, don't push, don't manipulate God's calling, his word or his promise to meet your desires. What you want to do is just posture your heart and flesh, make your flesh align with his will, his word, his process. Instead of going to find a quick way around it, go through the process. The best way to go through the process, spend time in the Word. Know what God says. Serve. You know what? Be quick to repent. Clean things up. Look like Jesus. And the more we look like him, the easier it's going to be to go through that promise or go through that process so that we can receive the promises that God gave to us because he wants to give them to us. It's kind of like those toys. When you get a toy, it says ages 3+. Well, quit staying. Grow up a little bit so you can actually use those gifts. You know, you don't give a baby little teeny parts because you don't want them to choke, not because you're being mean to them, because you love them. And that's the same with God. Sometimes you're like, well, I wish I could do this. Why hasn't God allowed me to be able to do this? It's like, because he's bringing you the promise because he knows what he's calling you to do. And wherever he's called you, know that that's important. If it's one person that you're influencing, if it's 100, it doesn't matter. That one person may be the person that goes to the masses. You may never see the masses, but you may influence that one. And God's like, that was your call. Amen? Amen. All right, well, let's pray.